98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
You're on the That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore here on Sunday, and not long now till the return of the greatest league in the world, the League of Ireland. Premier Division returns on Friday the 14th of February with the First Division the following week, and of course we're still awaiting final confirmation of what's going to happen with the First Division, with 10 teams or 11 teams and fixtures and so on and so forth. But a man with an idea that involves not just the League of Ireland but also the Northern Ireland Premier League is Kieran Lucid, and he's behind the All-Ireland League group and idea, and he joins me in studio. Kieran, how are you?
Good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks a million for coming in. So firstly, Kieran, for people listening who maybe have switched off for the last couple of months because the League of Ireland hasn't been on, your idea for the All-Ireland League kind of happened in around the summertime, and there's been lots of stuff recently about it. What's the initial idea, and from when you first kind of announced it to now, how have things gone?
Well, the initial idea is to merge the League of Ireland and its Northern Ireland counterpart to just have a bigger league, a bigger market, and to try and improve the fortunes of the game, North and South. So this project started in late 2017, but as you said, it came to a head in the early summertime. And the original plan, I would say, back then was a Danish-style All-Ireland League, and still, I would think, one of the options on the table. But since then, the IFA in Northern Ireland have expressed reservations and come out against it in October. But the original idea was for a 14-team Premier League run on an All-Ireland basis, and below that, you would have a regionalised championship North and South with an imaginary line drawn across the island each year to keep 10 and 10 in each championship. So that's similar to what they do in the National League in England. So that was basically the concept on a high level.
Yeah, currently 34 clubs as well across North and South. Well, there could be 35 if Limerick get back into the league, with Shamrock Rovers 2 scheduled to play in the First Division in the League of Ireland this coming season as well. You mentioned there, Kieran, you know, the idea was to merge both leagues to help both leagues, and your group does feel that both the League of Ireland and the Northern Irish League does need help to grow.
I think that's fair to say. That's definitely our view. If you look at, say, Denmark, Scotland and other similar sized populations around Europe, the island of Ireland is a bit of a black spot in terms of the finances in the game. It's quite a depressed financial landscape. And I guess there's many reasons for that. The GAA is obviously a big one, rugby, etc. But when you look at the interest in football, in English and Scottish football, a picture starts to emerge of an island that really still is obsessed with the game, just not our own clubs and our own leagues as much probably as we would like. So, yeah, I think something new is needed. And I think All-Ireland competition is definitely one way to achieve that because of the huge interest that's up there in the game. And it's the one sport that reaches all demographics of all traditions on the island.
Your group is on Twitter, at All Ireland League, Kieran, and people can see different bits and bobs, opinion pieces, and also some very good video interviews with fans, with people involved in clubs North and South, and also other people in your consortium and in your group, the likes of Brian Kerr and more. What type of people, like-minded people, along with yourself, are trying to continue to progress this idea?
Some great people. You mentioned Brian Kerr, obviously. Alex Horn, who ran the FA in England for many years. Catherine Toolan, who's the head of the Waterfront Hall in Belfast. Kieran Medler, head of tax at BDO Accountancy. Brendan Dillon, former chairman of the league, and you'll have seen him obviously in the news as well recently. And Stafford Reynolds, who's another former chairman of Glentoran. And Mark Duffy, who's an independent councillor in County Mayo. So some great people. And all of us are doing it kind of just as a labour of love. And it's a passion project. It's just to see the game. And we all believe in it, obviously. We think it's exciting. If it actually came off, it would be really something special. And I think if you look at the fortunes of our players when they're going cross-channel now, it's not what it used to be in the 90s or 80s. It's we're not populating those top six clubs like we used to. And I think maybe it's time we re-examined our domestic football and maybe showed it a bit more love.
Is it fair to say that League of Ireland clubs and the League of Ireland family as such have been more receptive to this idea than up north? And you mentioned about the Northern Irish FA releasing a statement basically to say that at the moment that they weren't interested in this merger, and yet there have still been people from clubs up north who seem very interested. And you know, from what I've seen of the clubs here in Dublin and in the League of Ireland in general, there does seem to be a real interest in what you guys have to say.
So this project started in Northern Ireland because it just happened that I was living there. So it all started with the clubs in Northern Ireland, and they expressed a lot of interest in it and still are interested in the concept. So in terms of the northern and southern clubs, I don't see a huge disparity in interest in the project. As for the associations, obviously, yes, the IFA have expressed views and come out against it, but we obviously hope to continue speaking to them and win them round to the idea. In terms of the fans, I think it's fair to say the Southern fans are more eager for it. In Northern Ireland, there's obviously different views. Some fans are cagey about it. Some are maybe, once they see the detail, are opening up to it. And that's what we're trying to get out there. I think once the fans see the detail of the project, they're starting to embrace it, because even Northern Ireland Irish League fans in the north, I think they know deep down that the league needs a bounce, it needs something new. And I think that message hopefully is starting to get through.
Yeah, and this coming week, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday as well, at the All Ireland League Advocacy Group are going to hold stakeholder forums across the country, starting on Tuesday 28th at the Waterfront Hall in Belfast. 6 o'clock is for players and coaches, 7:30 will be for fans. On Wednesday at the Aviva Stadium here in Dublin in the Vavasur Suite, broadcasters and sponsors will speak to Kieran and his group at 1 o'clock, players and coaches from 6 and fans from 7:30. And on Thursday, the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dundalk in the Hamilton Suite, 11 o'clock is Academia and Icons of the Sport. At 12:30, more chats with the clubs, and then at 2:30, journalists and media people like myself will get to speak to Kieran and everybody else who he's mentioned in his group as well. So Kieran, in short, the plan this week is to speak to everybody who might be involved in this, give them more info, answer their questions and see where it takes you.
Yeah, so a few months ago we engaged a third party consultancy called Hypercube. They're a sports consultancy and they do work for leagues around Europe and even in North America and UEFA themselves, and their job is to come into a league which wishes to rejig the format and maybe give it rejuvenate the competition. And they've come in and they will be in Belfast, Dublin, and as you said, in Dundalk next week. And their job is to meet the various stakeholders, including the fans, to see what their views are. And it's not so, I would say back 6 months ago when this story first broke, we were very much with tunnel vision on this Danish style structure. And the reason we're so enamored with Denmark is their TV deal is so impressive, in excess of €50 million a year. So, but since then, and not least because of the IFA's, we'll say, concerns, we've broadened the discussion. And that's been Hypercube's advice to us. We need to not just, you know, waltz in and tell people this is the way it's going to be. We need to really accept that we don't have all the answers and have let the fans have a big say. And that's what happened in Denmark, actually. It was the fans who came up with the format that they have now.
Yeah, you spoke there about Denmark and about a €50 million TV deal per year, and that's something that there has been a debate in League of Ireland circles for a number of years about TV money and how the clubs, if there's a live game of their club on TV, they lose out on a gate and they won't actually get any money at all, or very, very little, from RTE Air Sport, Setanta Sports back when they were there, etc. So TV is a huge part of this and money is a huge part of this as well. Where do you expect all that to come from? Because every League of Ireland club will tell you, we don't have enough money.
Absolutely. I would say clubs north and south are surviving, not thriving. We're using that soundbite a lot lately, but it's basically a very difficult gig to run a League of Ireland club, because of the fact that you've obviously these other sports, GA, not least GA, and competing for your fans and in other countries around Europe, you can assume that you have the back pages to yourself almost. So it's a very tough gig, and even tougher in the Republic and the League of Ireland, I would say, because in Northern Ireland, at least they have a small geographical area. They can run a smaller operation. They have no overnights. Whereas if you're a Finn Harps or a Cove Ramblers, it's a very tough gig. So definitely the leagues needs more investment. And as to your point about broadcasters, you mentioned our videos. In one of our earliest videos, we tried to explain what we see as the challenges facing the game here. And one of the concepts we had in the video was this football wheel. And it's really the struggles of the game at the moment are a function of fan interest, finances, standards of grounds, players, coaches, etc., and then success. And they all feed off each other. And at the root of it, I would say, is the interest. So we have to admit that English football is king in Ireland, north and south. And because of that, the clubs don't have the eyeballs on the TV. They don't have the fans going through the turnstiles. And then so it's a bit simplistic to blame a broadcaster for not putting more in if they're looking at it in a hard-nosed way. At the same time, there's always stuff broadcasters can be doing. And, you know, I think things like television gantries, the infrastructure needs to improve, I think, around the island to make it more appealing.
And you, as the person heading up this group and the people who are in the group with you, the All-Ireland League Advocacy Group, are you confident that you would be able to put the required finances and sponsors and all that goes with that in place to make this happen?
So when we spoke to broadcasters and sponsors with this Danish-style, fully All-Ireland League proposal back, say, last summer, the interest was very was very genuine, very valid, and it was very exciting. So the figures for the broadcast deal, it was in the ballpark of just over $1 million a year. And that's for just for the pay TV package. Obviously, a free-to-air deal would be outside of that. Then, and usually the way that this happens is that you solve the broadcast piece first, because the sponsor is going to want to know if you're on pay TV, what the exposure is. But we spoke to sponsors also, and they really liked the story. They liked the fact that this could put football on a really sound footing. It's still the biggest sport in the world. Depending on the measure, it's the biggest sport on the island as well. And it's not some fringe sport. So sponsors realised how high profile this story is. And even this chat about the FAI and even this All Ireland League, you can see that the people care about football probably more than they should. So it's good for a sponsor to be attached to that.
So the IFA have released a statement to say that at the moment they don't, you know, think they can take part in your plan. What conversations, if any, have you had with the FAI? And in recent days, you know, Niall Quinn and a couple of other people who were involved in maybe a group who wanted to do a different thing with the League of Ireland than you do have been appointed to very high positions in the FAI. So do you plan to speak to them, and does their appointment, you know, have a negative impact on your plan, given they maybe wanted to do something different?
So we've reached out to Niall and Gary Owens on regarding that, and I think it's a positive thing. I think that new, you know, that there's a change, changing of the guard almost. And I haven't met Niall very many times, but I think his heart is in the right place, and I would hope that, and I would welcome his comments about his openness to the All-In League and his willingness to help should he be asked. So I think it's a good thing, and I think Irish football can only benefit from someone of his calibre and his high profile.
And speaking of money, you mentioned that you guys in the group are doing this as a labour of love, but clearly it is costing you money to, you know, have your social media. I'm sure, you know, this week to rent, you know, rooms and hotels, and you know, I'm sure it's not something that eventually you want to keep paying for yourself. So at the moment it's a labour of love, but eventually you're going to want to be able to either see if this is going to happen, or will you have to stop?
It's a good point. I wouldn't say it's costing an awful lot of us financially, but it's just time. We're putting a lot of time into it. Obviously, renting a few rooms for a few days is not the end of the world. But yes, we would like to see signs of life, I would say, in the next while. But we're willing to stick with it. We haven't been discouraged by, you know, people expressing interest. Nothing that's worth having comes easy. So I think we need to spend... We're not going away anytime soon. I think football needs it. I think the public agree with us that it needs it.
Now, of course, we have had the Satanta Cup before, a competition that I loved, which involved, you know, clubs from North and South playing in a competition. And, you know, more recently we had the United Champions Cup game, you know, in which was a once-off over two legs, Champions North against Champions South and so on. Is there a possibility of doing something in the interim involving clubs North and South that isn't a full All-Ireland League, that might be a taster or might be a tester or might be something along the lines of a Satanta Cup or some sort of competition like that?
So Hypercube's advice to us was to broaden the discussion to include various different options, so a whole menu of options. And the current timeline is that next week they'll be in Ireland for the first time, and they will be coming every 2 to 3 weeks up until the end of March, at which point we will have a credible fact-based study to present to the associations and UEFA for sanctioning, so to go about with this league. So, but at the end of that process, the clubs will have to choose option A, B, C or D, and I can't say definitively today what those options will be. I would say broadly, if I had to predict what they will be, one will be to stay as we are. That's always an option. Option two would be a Satanta Cup standalone competition. Option three would be some type of split season whereby you play home and away for two legs, and then you move into an All-Ireland League for the latter half of the year, the advantage of which is that you would solve the UEFA places issue and that you solve that at the halfway point. And then the fourth and most radical is a fully All-Ireland League, in which probably you would have the two cups in each jurisdiction, so that's four cup competitions altogether, all retaining a European place, and then the league would have four. So that would be eight or seven at the moment, but eight in general. So I'd say broadly speaking, those are the four blends. Holding my hand up, you know, full disclosure, I would be most excited and want the full All-Ireland League. I think if you look at it, you know, piecemeal, you'll say, oh, does it really need it? But when you zoom out and look at the finances in other leagues, the picture is pretty stark that something radical is needed. But that said, we have to deal in the art of the possible. And if the IFA and the fans don't wish to go that full step, then we have to go with their wishes.
I put up a question on my Twitter page just asking if anybody wanted to send in some questions, and one has come in, one of the good ones. If the IFA refused to engage any further and the North is a no-go, would Kieran and the group still be willing to work with the League of Ireland clubs and stakeholders on the new format participation agreement from next season, potentially with a view to revisiting the All-Ireland League long-term? So effectively, run the League of Ireland, work with the League of Ireland, help the League of Ireland, but not involving the North just yet.
So I can't speak for the other members of our group. They very well may do. I guess the advantage of my position at the moment is that I'm neutral. Like, as I said, this started in the North. So the same question could be asked for, would you work on the NIFL Premiership? I like to stand outside the two. I think the League of Ireland, look, the League of Ireland can obviously go on without having a cross-border competition. But I think if you look around Europe, you'll see the top five leagues are really taking the vast majority of the fan interest now. And it's like in other industries, the gaps between the haves and the have-nots is only widening. So I think you're going to see more of this stuff, this consolidation in an attempt to compete with the big leagues. And I think this will happen. So I wouldn't want to go down that discussion right now and saying, oh yeah, I will go down that road. I want to focus on this. But as I said, the other members of my group may do that.
I suppose in short, what that person's probably asking is, would you foresee sponsors and TV companies and anybody who you've spoken to may be interested in the League of Ireland as a package on its own if the other one is not a possibility even in the interim?
Maybe. I think it depends. I think some sponsors are genuinely interested in the game come what may. Others have said that we wouldn't have gotten in the door if we were selling the League of Ireland. But that's not all sponsors. That was just a select few. So I can't really say. I think if the League of Ireland can build its own credible and exciting package, of course, sponsors will want to be attached to that.
Another question, and we don't talk about Brexit too much on the That's What I Call Sport here, but one from James says, how would Brexit affect any cross-border league? For instance, will the Bosman rules still apply, travel week in, week out across the border? And I know nobody knows what's going to happen exactly with Brexit, but when Brexit does happen, and it was signed this week by the Queen and stuff, and Boris Johnson's delighted, so Brexit is coming, will that affect an All-Ireland League, or how would it?
So Brexit obviously is an issue that has an impact and things above my pay grade and well above probably the level of importance of football, but people might disagree with that. But it's a huge issue, and we as a group try to keep our eye on the ball, if you pardon the phrase. We're trying to control the controllables. As for the Bosman rule, UEFA has 55 member nations, some as far east as Kazakhstan and well into Western Asia. So it's not, UEFA and the European Union are different things. It's perfectly, Switzerland, for example, are not in the EU. So I think it's kind of a red herring to say Brexit will mean that the UK is no longer viable as part of the UEFA or European football family. I would say it's a non-issue. I try not to focus on it. And if anything, we try to use it to our advantage in that maybe the football authorities on the island and in UEFA would like to be seen to be involved in a good news story as a kind of a rebuttal or amid a backdrop of division. So, yeah, maybe if anything, it could be a good thing.
Last two, Kieran. If your option four, as you mentioned, was to happen and the All-Ireland League in full was to happen with 34 clubs or 36 clubs or however many clubs there would be, how would you foresee that looking? You spoke briefly about a 14-team Premiership and then two regionalised 10-team First Divisions. How would you see it actually working? And practically, if you're a football fan listening and your club is in that league, how does it work for them?
So basically, the Premier League in England is a separate company to the FA. It's owned by 20 shareholders. They have 100% ownership of that company. The FA has what's called the preference share or the golden share. So in this scenario, in that option four, as we call it, that would be a separate company, 100% owned by the clubs, and the two associations would have this preference share. That's what we were proposing. And in that scenario, the 20 League of Ireland clubs would be in that company. So there would be 34 clubs in this company. So 14 for the Premier, and as you said, 2 10, so that's 20. So the 20 League of Ireland clubs would be in there, and then there would be the 12 NIFL Premiership clubs and the top two NIFL Championship clubs. So that's 34 altogether. And promotion relegation would happen in a kind of a regionalised basis, so that it would try and protect the balance, at least in the early years of the North-South. So we put a lot of thought into protecting the balance. In terms of how it would run, like the Premier League in England, they elect a board. It has a mixture of club people on the board and, you know, domain expertise and marketing. Marketing is obviously vital. The league has to get the message out there. This is something new and exciting. And then I guess yeah, so and in terms of disciplinary and obviously and refereeing, the associations would of course have input on that as well. So the league would still remain subordinate to the two national associations. It has to be to satisfy UEFA statutes, and you know that's the best way for this to succeed, where the two associations feel like they have something very valuable and they have ownership of.
What would you say to someone listening who says, whether they be a League of Ireland person or a Northern Irish Premiership person, that says they're happy with their lot and that this just won't happen or can't happen or shouldn't happen?
Well, they're entitled to their view. The Salenta Cup happened, so cross-border competition is nothing new. I think that the challenge with the Salenta Cup and why I wouldn't be as enthused by that as the full All-In League is that you're having to weave it into your other three competitions. And you know, recently, I was up in Belfast, there was the County Antrim Shield Final. That's another competition. So you've so many competitions. And I think, again, it's fine when you're looking locally, but when you zoom out and you look at the big picture and you see how far off the mark, as the videos try and point out, in terms of finances, then staying as you are, you know, it's tough. And I would say if you're someone who has serious reservations, I would say speak to the club, speak to the people who are trying to pay the bills, speak to the players, see what their views are. And I think Hypercube, at the end of this process, will have a good view of what the different stakeholders want. And, you know, we can't go on one opinion. But if the aggregate opinion is that, look, we should go for this, then that's what we should do.
I love social media because questions can come in as interviews are going on. So finally, Kieran, from Will Clark, who's the Academy Director of Bray Wanderers and Joseph's Boys. He's been on our show and podcast lots of times, very active on Twitter. Would the All-Ireland League have an academy structure?
So we have to be very careful when proposing something like this that we're not stepping on the toes of the associations. Obviously, the youth football and the development pathways is something that the FAI have put a lot of thought into, and I think it's worked very well. The League of Ireland clubs were happy with that. So we don't want to be changing that. Our focus has been the senior professional game. And the decisions on the academy structures, the player pathways, what age groups, whether there's, you know, 13, 15s, or if you fill that in with 14s, that's a wider discussion. And obviously, any All-Ireland League would be involved in that. But I think if we start broadening the remit of this project, we risk getting sucked into all different debates and arguments about that. So we try to remain narrow and say, we're trying to solve a clear problem at the top level, and everything else is kind of outside our scope at the moment.
So for now, it's sort out the professional senior league, and in future, maybe link it, because, you know, the League of Ireland under 13, 15, 17, 19 has been great for a lot of clubs and a lot of young players. Yeah. But for now, for you, it's too much to do.
Well, I wouldn't say sort out the league now and then after do it. Obviously, these things can happen simultaneously. But we as a group are not the ones focusing on the academy structures. Obviously, the clubs in accordance with their association will do that. And because North and South, they'll have different views on how that academy structure works. And that's kind of getting into the realm of clear pathways for the national side as well. So it would be bad idea for us to start trying to get into that argument as well. So we try to remain focused on the prize here, which is the All-Ireland League at the senior game.
Anything else, Kieran, you want to add or be asked before I do my little final question?
I would say to the fans, players, coaches, anyone out there who is an interest in the game, and even if you're not interested in the League of Ireland per se, and your interests more lie in Liverpool, Man United, or wherever else, I would say it would be great if you could come along next week to the events on Tuesday, Wednesday, to the player and coach events at six p.m. and then the fan and the fan events at 7:30. Because I think even if you're against the idea, you'll learn what the work has gone into it, Hypercube's expertise in the area, and I think if you know, it's good to have, you know, it's kind of like the election coming up. It's good to have your voice heard.
Yes, and you can follow the guys on Twitter, as I mentioned, at All Ireland League, where there's a pinned tweet with a graphic of times and venues and stuff for those 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to retweet that right now on at 98FM. Kieran, lastly, how long will you give this before, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel? There is light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe that's not the best way for me to express it, but the fact that the NIFL in the north have said for now no, you're going to have this event this week. How long do you continue to put time and effort and money in your group into this before you either kick it off or let it go?
I don't really have a good answer to that. It is not even on our radar to think of stopping anytime soon. So we'll exhaust all options until it's absolutely clear that we're wasting our time. But I think at the moment there's real interest in the project, and we have no plans in stopping anytime soon.
That's the voice of Kieran Lucid from the All-Ireland League Advocacy Group. Kieran, thanks for your time coming in on a weekend. The best of luck with the forum sort of focus groups on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm sure we'll speak again. Thanks a million.
Thank you, Jamie.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Back live this Sunday morning from 9.
98FM.